We'd like to welcome you to the Heart Leader Podcast, where heart and mind align. I'm your host, Amber, and I'm here with co-host Austin, and we'd like to know, do you have a passion to make a greater global impact? Are you ready to embrace leading with heart and love? If so, join us on this journey to become heart leaders who change the world. Each episode brings heart-centered connection, building stronger relationships, communities, and businesses. Let's take a deeper dive into what it means to be heart leaders. The Heart Leader Podcast starts now. Hi, and welcome to the Heart Leader Podcast, where heart and mind align. I am your host, Amber, and today I am joined by James Robeson and Lance, who lead Robeson Reserve. It is a wonderful senior living community, and James is the grandson of Mr. Robeson, who founded Robeson Communities. And they're going to go into detail about these amazing assisted living communities and everything that they have to offer and what makes them so unique and makes these two gentlemen amazing heart leaders in our local community. So thank you guys for being here. Really appreciate you inviting us to your space so that we could take a look at everything you guys have to offer, which is just mind-blowing as you walked us through. What I would like to start with is having you guys tell your story and how this assisted living community and this, actually, when we walked around, it does not look like a standard assisted living community at all. I would not walk onto this grounds and call it that. So how did that concept come into being, and how did you get to where you are now, where a three-year-old community can look like it was just built yesterday?
Well, I think the number one thing is to give Mr. Robeson, my grandfather, a lot of credit for his vision and for everything he's built and kind of getting to grow up around him, basically being born in Sun Lakes, one of the original communities. I've gotten to see how he's built an amazing team and how he's got people who love working with him. And that's been one of my goals throughout my life is, hey, one day, how can I create that same environment? And so the design, he can take all the credit for the design. He really has a great eye for that. But the number one thing that we've focused on, and with the help of Lance and all the other team members, is how do we create this amazing environment for our team and everybody who works with us? And we believe if we do that, they will then create a phenomenal, exceptional environment for the residents. And I really think it shows in everything from the food that we provide. That one of the comments that you made, the food's really prepared with love because people are happy working back there. And I love getting to go back there in the kitchen and see everybody. It's really fun. To the activities that we provide, and it's not just your regular activities. We have hydro fitness to chair yoga to tracking your fitness progress, and everything from transportation and the housekeeping, which, I mean, I can't say enough about the team. And Lance, you came on board two years ago?
Yeah, a little over two years ago. So yeah, it's been a great journey. And I think what's has distinguished Robeson Senior Living from other communities that I've worked in is really that commitment that James talks about to the team members and just the execution. We've tried to align and bring people on board that really catch that vision as well, you know. And so there are people that serve with the heart. They have, you know, we try and get very quickly, even during the interview process, and reaffirm throughout their time here through various team meetings and so forth, why they're doing what they're doing, you know, to find out what their why is and to really be able to connect with that frequently throughout their time here, because their why is what allows them to get up in the morning, to come in here with excitement, to put a smile on their face, to do some of the jobs that are done here that are less than savory, that are you know, things that even their own residents, own family members are reluctant to do. We have team members here that are willing to step in and do those things because we've connected with their why, and they're here to really make that part of their life and part of their job. So.
And that's a huge gift to walk out of here with just for daily life.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, it's, you know, it's the, I think a lot of times, you know, when you go to a typical job, you know, there's not that deep connection. But if you talked with a lot of our team members here, many of them can look back on a loved one that they've cared for. They look back on a grandparent that's had a significant influence in their own life. They look back on perhaps even their own parent that perhaps they weren't able to take care of. And they are in their role because they want to fulfill an aspect of their life from a caring standpoint, from a giving back standpoint that is powerful. You know, and it motivates them. It allows us to pursue excellence together as a team. And when you're surrounded by people that have that same motivation, it's powerful, very powerful.
Yeah. And it really can be felt walking onto the grounds. I mean, when we went into the kitchen and they were singing, I mean, how many people get to eat and consume food that is created with that kind of love? And that lends to health. I mean, when you get to eat something that has that much love in it, of course it's going to help you.
Yeah.
And so if your why is that you're cooking with love and passion, no matter who eats it, that makes a difference. And that speaks to the culture that you're creating. And so, but then they get to take that not only from this job, but into their life. And then there's the commitment to what is my why in everything I do. And so you're building this culture not only within your community, in your staff, but also outside of these walls. And that's phenomenal.
Well, and a sense of excellence, too, is not just that they're really happy back there and they are putting so much love into the food, but they're really creating dishes. I think that adds to the creativity, too. Chef Steven creates dishes that look amazing, taste amazing, present well, but are also very healthy. And we're super cognizant of that for this generation and for this the residents that we serve. I mean, one of my favorite things on Valentine's Day, just a little touch, we had a Caesar salad, but the croutons were shaped in hearts. And it just changed the meal. Yeah. I mean, it's a Caesar salad, but just heart croutons. It was great.
Yeah.
And then how he presented the lamb next to it, it was really fun. And then he does a great dinner beyond that for families and for their events, which there are a lot of family events that happen here, both tremendously happy and sometimes sad. But having that comfort of food, and again, the rest of the team too, I know we're focusing a little bit on dining, but everybody does a tremendous job in keeping the place looking sparkling 3 years later. And I mean, what other departments or what other team members really kind of step up to help
make
the experience exceptional?
Yeah, I think, I mean, the housekeeping, service, maintenance, obviously, are a huge, huge team that really help make it home, you know. And that's another thing that really strikes you when you first start to work in this type of environment, is that you're working in someone's home. And you know, they're here 24/7. You come and go, but they don't punch out at night, so they're here, and you're wanting to then make their living arrangement look as pleasant as possible, be as comfortable as possible, make them have a sense of safety, security when they're here. And so all of that goes into what those teams do, you know, really executing at a very, very high level. Our care staff that works with our assisted living residents are some of the best I've worked with. And especially, you know, coming through what we've been through the last 2-3 years, to know that the folks that are still here are the ones that largely worked through with this community through the darkest days of going through COVID and so forth. You know, they're here for the right reasons. They're not here for reasons other than centrally wanting to make sure that residents are cared for, that they're cared for to the best of their ability. You know, they work well together because they've been through adversity, so they know how to work together as a team. So that extends even beyond care, but obviously in housekeeping, maintenance, dining services, and so forth. But it's a great group, really great group.
It's amazing. Do you offer like classes or anything that helps bring these individuals together in this way?
Yeah. So one of the things that we started is called the Ropes and Ready program. So we launched this about 4 years ago, And I'll throw a name out there. It's called the Cardinal Group. I got to give them a lot of credit because they're kind of the leading in team culture, I believe. They do primarily student housing, but it's really fun because you get to see a really young demographic that works in student housing, and then I can apply that to what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And so some of the things, in addition to classes and training and everything else, we hold the Ropes Ready rallies with the teams, and people win this belt, and it really means a lot. And Lance helped us create this. And can you kind of touch on what the rallies are all about? We have 30-day trainings, 60-day trainings, 90-day trainings, just for an overall cultural component. But then we really hone in on training for our caregivers, training for the housekeeping team, and it goes across the board. And the dining training is next level. I'm excited to go through it one day. I really hope to once we have a little more time. But, yeah why not touch on the belt and what Ropes and – Ready and the rallies are all about.
Yeah, this has just been a great tool to reinforce the culture, you know. And on a monthly basis, we get together first Thursday of the month, and we gather the team members. We ask folks that aren't necessarily working that day to come in and join us for that meeting. Many do that, and so really, it's an opportunity to, you know, on a formal side, to update them on the happenings within the community. But we really do try and make it like a rally. So we have music playing, up-tempo music, pop music playing. We get them very excited at being there. We want to create that type of environment, almost of a party type atmosphere. We go through why we're here, what we're doing, get them refocused on the mission, vision of the organization. We highlight our promise to our team members, and what we've been doing, for instance, over the last year really is taking different aspects of that promise and highlighting it each month, and getting team member impact on what that means to them, what that means in their specific area of service within the community, and get them really to reflect on that. And I think what it does is a lot of times communities can become siloed. Each department kind of serves its own purpose, and there's not really a whole lot of bleed from department to department. And as a result, sometimes there can be a lot of friction between different departments, and especially where their tasks overlap. But in this type of an environment, we're able to break down those walls. We're able to refocus and reinforce on a monthly basis that we are one team, and that we are highlighting excellence across the company. And in that vein, too, specifically, we basically respond off of resident feedback. So residents will fill out cards highlighting a team member's excellent service. They'll submit those to us, or perhaps a manager or director will have noticed a team member going above and beyond, providing exceptional service, which we highlight here on the belt, exceptional care and exceptional people. And so when those things are highlighted, we basically take those into a leadership group. We consider them among our leadership, and then we select a person who's our care champion for the month. And so we highlight the situation that may have won them the care champion belt that month.
Can we talk about the last care champion?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So the last care champion is one of our night security maintenance guys. And so he works, you know, I mean, the whole time he's here, he is again, engaged in providing security and comfort for our residents. But what he does is often unnoticed. You know, he's kind of a behind the curtains type of worker. But at the same token, one of our residents, you know, had a extremely positive interaction with him, really had, you know, just a wow moment with him. And I think just even recognizing his steady ongoing performance as a team member, always as a presence. They submitted a card. We had him, notified him. His wife accepted it on his behalf because he was napping at home because he had to work that night. But she accepted on his behalf. She works here as well. And so we were able to honor him. And it's great. The residents, sometimes the team members will wear the belt even while they're working, maybe a little bit. Or if they're in maintenance or housekeeping, they'll have it on a cart. And so the residents know, because we've highlighted this on the resident side, they know that that person's won the Care Champion Award for the month, so they can congratulate them. And that'll go on through the month just to encourage them and also gives them a little bit of bragging rights among the other team members as well.
And what a wonderful way to get the community members engaged too. Mm-hmm. So not only are you making it one team among your staff, but it's one community among everyone.
It's a big family. We really are. I mean, when you live here every day and you work here every day, your interactions, you build relationships. And we try to have some barrier there, but I mean, even then, you end up building close relationships, getting to know the families, getting to know their life stories. And that's probably one of the more exciting things too, is getting to sit down at dinner or you go to a town hall and you really do hear these phenomenal, incredible life stories of how these people did what they did when they grew up, what their jobs were, what their family was like. I mean, the amount of stories we've gotten to hear over the years is pretty incredible.
For me, I would think that that would be important because I would want my family member to be somewhere where I know someone cares about them. And so,
And that reminiscing and such is really important, not only for our team members and an aspect that we encourage our team members to participate in with residents, because some residents may not want to share a whole lot, but there are other residents that, you know, they've got a story to tell and they want to tell it. And we encourage our team members to be listening ears for that, because, you know, that lends to the residents' experience of comfort in the community, being surrounded by people that know them, helps them feel known and heard. All of those things go a long way in creating an environment that really bestows a lot of dignity on our residents, which is something we strive for as well.
Well, especially veterans as well is a big deal. Yeah. We try to honor that. We've got a great wall, and it's always fun because I walk around and then all of a sudden I see like three more pictures of people who used to be generals and officers and all their experience in different wars. And it's pretty incredible.
Now, I did notice when we got here, you had arrived shortly before us, and you spend the morning walking around the entire place.
I get a lot of miles.
Is that something you do every day?
Yeah, I try to, as much as I can, walk both communities, and it's one of the most important things I feel like that might be underappreciated in other. If you can get in and walk the community and pay attention to little things, it makes a difference over time. And not just that, one, it's great exercise, but also I feel like you get to see what's going on in the community. Like, just a great example, and somebody brought it up before, but they were playing ping pong in there. And it was cool, but it's a table that was put together with a net. Okay, so we ordered ping pong tables because that's better than two tables put together. And getting to see those things on a day-to-day basis or weekly basis walking around allows me to help see and support the team and support the residents.
Yes, but you didn't come in and go into an office and lock yourself in. You didn't hide yourself away as the individual who leads this organization and say, everyone else, go do it. You walked these grounds and made certain that what needed to be focused on was focused on. How much do you feel that plays a part and how connected everyone feels?
Yeah, a significant role. Yeah, because that availability and access is something that our residents really enjoy, because it helps set the tone again for every other department for our residents to know that they have access to the very senior levels of our organization. And it reinforces for every other team member here that, you know, they're not, there is a spotlight on us as we work, and the residents are watching, the residents are family members are watching. And so we need to make sure that we are committed to excellence in every area that we're setting our hands to. And that they're, you know, it's a high accountability organization as well. It's a high care environment, but it's a high accountability environment as well. And, so we want our residents to know that, you know, I frequently communicate to our residents that I have an open door policy, you know, that there's any concern, question, comment, they're more than welcome to come talk with me, to have a closed door meeting. But certainly as well, I'm out in the community as well, following James's lead, to be able to interact, you know, and really make sure that our residents know who we are, that we're accessible, that we're touring the community when they're active, not when it's just convenient for us, but we're out there when they're walking the halls and getting feedback from them. I think from a customer service aspect too, that's just so important, because you hear about things that are potential challenges before they rise to the level of a crisis, because you're able to sit and talk with somebody and say, you know, how's your day going? How was lunch today? You know, those type of things. And you're able to hear from them, and you're able to kind of, again, hear areas that are potential attention needing areas that we need to focus on before it spreads to too many residents, before it becomes more of a crisis. And when you're spending time locked in an office, that's a recipe for disaster from my perspective, because you know, you're not truly engaged in what's going on in the community, setting the tone, and you're just more reactive instead of being proactive in that environment.
Well, one area to give the team massive kudos recently, as it's been, I'm sure you guys eaten at restaurants lately in the last 6 months probably, and it's might have been a little slower, or it's have you see help wanted signs everywhere. And so in the last couple of months, we've had a tough time recruiting. And I think we were able to get in front of that really quickly. The team banded together, the entire team, and in the span of a couple of weeks, going from, hey, dining wasn't good this one day. 2 weeks later, the residents are phenomenally excited. We all came together. We got in front of the residents, had a different town hall than we usually have every month. And it was, hey, I'm here to support them, and they're doing a great job. And again, as you saw today, the kitchen's doing great. I think the team on the floor is just kicking butt. And the residents are even responding as of yesterday. Hey, it already is back to the best it's been.
It's phenomenal. And your attention to little details. That blew our mind as we walked around here too. You have at the bar area, you lowered the floor. Mm-hmm. You can talk us through that. Why did you lower the floor behind the bar?
Well, so some of these things come from mistakes or things that you notice that you could have done better at a previous community or a previous building. And so we have a bar at one place where people roll up and they kind of look at the back of the bar. And that kind of blew my mind. I was kind of sitting there. Nobody's ever going to sit there again. And so I said, okay, so how do you design a floor where if somebody rolls up or has a scooter mm-hmm. or is even slightly slouched, because in your old age, you kind of shrink a little sometimes. And if we could recess the floor just slightly, then you're on the same level as somebody working behind the counter for coffee or working behind the counter for the bar, and you can serve at the same level and talk at the same level.
Yes. And what that does for dignity and the level of compassion and care is, to me, stellar, because it's not something that most people would think of. It really isn't. So as you're doing these different tasks that you're doing and thinking through these communities, our theme this month is all around compassion. And these little details and everything that you're talking about just screams compassion. It's putting your staff in the center and having compassion for the fact that they have lives outside of here. But you want to create the best possible life here when they're here, and then give them tools to have a great life outside of here as well.
Yeah.
You're creating an amazing environment for the people who have chosen to live in your communities, and you're compassionate about the care and what they're navigating. Is that an active choice, or is it just something that you are inherently doing?
So I think it was initially an active choice, and I got to learn about that a little bit again through my experience with the Cardinal Group and in student housing. But I really, kind of growing up, I got to see a certain mentality of, we were lucky to have a job. And that's so true in a lot of cases. But at the same time, and it's becoming more and more prevalent today, we're lucky to have team members. And so I think kind of flipping it on its head of saying, we're lucky to have people that want to work with us, and we're lucky to get to support them. And that sense of, I haven't really thought about it as being compassionate, but yeah, I guess it is compassion and saying, hey, we get to change people's lives, and not just the person who gets to come to work, but you really impact their family life, right? And so that's, I guess, how we try to think about it every day. And as Lance has talked about, I mean, you do a tremendous job every day coming in and making sure the team feels great. And that they take that home with them. And what better thing to have somebody go home happy?
Yeah, absolutely. They've, you know, they spend and invest a significant amount of time and energy here in making the lives of our residents better and creating, you know, exceptional environment here for them to be cared for. We want to make sure that we're giving as well. And that, you know, the exciting part, as you highlight, is that we get to affect the lives of the family members that, you know, we may not even get to meet, you know, but their parent or loved one works here, they go home. And if we can help them have a positive experience here in their job, when they go home, they are going to be a happier father or a happier mother or a happier nephew or a happier grandson and granddaughter. So they're going to go back, like you mentioned, into where they're at and extend that compassion that they've seen here. And it's a rarity in this industry. I think there's a lot of compassion that's given to residents, but there's not a whole lot of investment being done in the team members, because I think from a financial standpoint, it's not seen as worth the investment, unfortunately. And so I think a lot of our team members have seen that in other communities. And once they've come in and worked at our community, they see the camaraderie, they see the investment that the company is willing to make in them, not only from a financial wage standpoint, but from a work environment standpoint and from a, you know, team member activity standpoint. Then, you know, they're sold on the community, and it, you know, it obviously affects our retention, it affects our morale, and ultimately affects resident care and our residents too. I mean, they're the first ones, you know, when they hear of staffing crises on the news, they're the first ones to ask us, how much are we paying our team members? Are we on the top end of the wage scale? Are we paying them well enough that they want to be here? And we're able to show them directly, you know, how we are taking care of our team members to make sure that we're attracting and retaining the best talent in the industry.
So. And to your point, there is a whole compassionate component to all this, but is actually accretive and has a great return on investment. And that does need to be talked about a little bit. We do have to think about that, because this is a business at the end of the day, because we want to grow and be able to do this in more places. But it truly starting with compassion and then still driving certain numbers, this impacts all of that in a positive way. And we have the data to show that. And that's been the most exciting part.
Yes. And that's a very key point, because they are starting to show, you know, 10 years ago, that was so not a focus of business. Right. Actually, it was the opposite, very much so. Business didn't care how you felt when you went home. It was what you were giving when you were there. You were an asset to the business, and that was how it was. But now we are showing that the younger generation, compassion is a deciding factor in the culture of whether or not they will take a job there. So hiring decisions and staffing decisions are being made based on compassion. Where people are spending their money is also being decided upon how compassionate and how giving are you on a community basis. And so money is being spent in that way. And so while compassion may not be the only deciding factor, it really is becoming a deciding factor in business. And you guys are showing you're ahead on that, instead of thinking, oh, now I have to catch up. You've built it into your framework.
Well, I think it shows for the experience as well. And the point that you made of, like, the food is being prepped with love. I think the dining experience is better than any other community in the state, if not the country. I don't know about the rest of the country, but I try to eat at other communities and we're super proud of it. And I think that experience translates into better product that, yes, we can charge a little more for, but it's also just a great experience. So it works out for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And it goes, again, to the little things. Your hallways, you made a joke. But it was very true. You're like, we pre-planned for social distancing. Yeah. But your hallways, there's so much space within it.
Yes.
That if somebody does need to be in a wheelchair or have space to maneuver within it, you weren't thinking, no, we need to save space and have right. more rooms. You were, how do we make this something that is comfortable for those who might need the space? Again, mm-hmm. that goes back to being forethought.
Oh, it's all my grandfather. His forethought on design and layout is pretty incredible. I mean, he's done a really great job there and really thinks about the resident and the customer experience.
And it's incredible. So for the two of you, for self-development, because this obviously doesn't just happen. You may have been born this way, but for most of us, we have to do something to like keep it going. Are there any tools that you guys have that you can offer our community that you're like, hey, this is how I keep myself moving forward? Because in something like this, I would estimate there's some heartache. Mm-hmm. You see people in very challenging positions at points in time. How do you keep yourselves motivated and keep that compassion and that drive going? Are there tools you could share?
Absolutely. And I mean this genuinely, like listening to your guys' podcasts, things like that, and reading. And one of the best things I think we do is mm-hmm. I try to read as much as I possibly can on things like this. And that's, but I, one of the cooler things is having the weekly, not weekly, what do you do at the leadership meeting? You guys have a book every month. That's what it is.
Yeah. We strive to go through to, you know, keep learning as a team as well. So there are a couple different, you know, business leadership books that have, you know, been widely circulated in the business community that we go through as a team, and we kind of contextualize the principles in those books in our environment. But it helps us think proactively. It helps us refuel and refresh each of us, you know, and I think that's a big part. For many of our team members, many of our team members have a faith background that's very important to them. And so I think, you know, we try as much as possible within the business environment to be able to affirm, what our why is and what our motivation is for coming and doing what we do, and really affirming that in each of us and making sure that that those things are respected, you know, that they are affirmed, that they are supported. And I think, for me as well, yeah, it's, you know, podcasts, reading, my own faith background, my own family, myself, I have a child with special needs, who brings significant amount of joy to my life and is my one of my main reasons for getting up in the morning. And he just is a wealth of encouragement and a wealth of support, and comes to the community frequently as well to meet residents, and loves to be here. He's a very social person, but that really, he and the dynamic there, the care that we provide for him, all of those things just get you focused on a different emphasis for your life, and really wanting to invest in other people that you then see as really the highest and best. And, you know, I think that aligns well. And one of the reasons why I was so attracted to work with Ropes and Senior Living. I remember sitting down with James at a coffee shop. He wanted to make it the best place to work in senior living in the state of Arizona. And I was sold at that point, because that aligned well with what I wanted to do. I wanted to help create an environment, because I'd seen the opposite. I wanted to create an environment where team members loved coming to work, where they had the tools that they needed to do the job that that they were asked to do, where they were affirmed, where we could create a culture that, again, supported them. And like we've talked about, impacted families as well. And we're seeing the kind of the beginning fruit of that, and excited about where it's going to go.
The other thing is partnerships, is we're not afraid to go out and meet with our, you could say competitors. Yeah, competitors. But it's so fun to get to go to lunch or dinner or coffee and see what other people are doing. We have other partnerships, like a new recent partnership group called Sunbound. They're just starting, and we're getting to be a pilot program. They're going to create this online platform three really smart young guys. That's going to be a portal for hopefully one day almost everybody going into senior living. And just right now, we're learning so much from them. From we're having a TikTok meeting about how we can better optimize TikTok. And I, 6 months ago, maybe a year, I would have said that. I don't know if we're going to have anything in involvement with that. But TikTok today gets more views than Google. And so I said, okay, how can we leverage that? And I think Megan here has done a great job. And then learning from other people who are on the cutting edge there, and they're providing us resources to say, hey, here's how you can use it better. And so kind of taking those opportunities on and learning from others has been a big thing we try to do.
Okay, so how can people find you on TikTok or online?
So look at Ropes and Reserve on TikTok, okay. ropesandseniorliving.com, and then any other ropesandreserve.com, ropesandseniorliving, yeah. ropesand.com for the larger community website.
Instagram, Facebook.
Instagram, yeah. And Facebook. We're really proud of our Instagram. I think that shows a lot of the things we're doing too. We could have shown a picture today, but oh, the events. That's another thing I got to touch on. We have innovative events that our car show, although that's not innovative, people do have car shows, but how many cars did we have show up?
Yeah, we probably had about 35 cars that were here, and it all from the local neighborhood here. So even the folks that were bringing cars gave them an opportunity to see the community. But there was just such a great camaraderie there and just a desire to bring joy to our residents. We had residents who, you know, had car collections earlier in life that were able to come and see some of those cars again, see some of the work that was done. It's just always great to see the joy that that they get to bring others by sharing, you know, one of their hobbies with our residents. And so it's just a sweet environment to be in and a great, great dynamic to watch.
And the camaraderie too is key, because it's not just an activity. Dining team got involved and had great food.
Yeah.
And I mean, everybody was there, the band out front, everybody came together, and the experience is pretty phenomenal.
Yeah.
So another way you're building community across the boundaries. Mm-hmm. It's not just for the community members, it's bringing your entire team in together.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So talking about the members of the community, you have the events that you have here, but as we were walking, you were talking about that you plan trips for them too. So it's not like they are just bound to being on this premise. You make certain that they have fun activities, that they can travel and go do something. Can mm-hmm. you talk about that? Like,
oh, yeah. We make a big point, and Lance is pioneering. We have some trips in mind. Lance has some ideas of – we do take people to, say, the symphony, but, I mean, we'd go well beyond that.
Yeah, yeah. We're hoping to and in the planning stages of partnering with a travel agency that would work exclusively with our communities to be able to take our residents on trips – not only to other states in the country to, you know, see Oregon wine country or, you know, Door County, Wisconsin, or to go back to different areas that maybe even some of our folks are from, but also to go international and really be able to see some of the things that they thought potentially were, you know, in their rearview mirror, but we're able to now highlight the fact that because they've got a low maintenance style of living that they're engaged in now, they have the time and the bandwidth to be able to go enjoy those things to the fullest and really be able to share it with the people that they live with. So it's an exciting thing to be able to offer.
Yeah. So again, international travel with friends, and you don't have to worry about your house mm-hmm. because it's all being taken care of by people that you trust. Mm-hmm. And what an amazing style of living that you would be able to offer. At that point, it's amazing. So we call people like you heart leaders, right? Because you have so much heart and love in what you do, but you're using intellect to make certain that it is driven forward. That's our view of what a heart leader is. When you hear a term heart leader and you're being called a heart leader, what does that invoke in you?
And I asked the name earlier and I forgot it, but being compared to somebody like the former director of education in Afghanistan, I'm like, wow, that's another level of heart leadership. But no, I think it means leading with compassion, as we talked about. And I think it means not just having the compassion, but also the intellect, or the really taking an approach and thinking about every step that you're taking and also following through. So we talked about it earlier, but we try to reinforce this every day. We have daily huddles. We have weekly kind of leadership meetings and monthly town halls and rallies that you have to reinforce. And another comment you made is this doesn't just come out of nowhere. You have to meditate like on a daily basis. Leadership and leading by the heart is a daily thing that you have to practice. I think that would be what we try to do.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, that authenticity, the compassion that we strive to bring to the role that we're engaged in is really, from my perspective, what differentiates a heart leader from someone who's not leading from the heart. People can sense inauthenticity a mile away, and a heart leader is really it's a more difficult style of leadership from my perspective, because a heart leader is willing to expose their heart to the people that they engage with and that they work with. And I think a lot of times that's something that maybe a lot of leaders start out engaging in, but over the years, they, based on perhaps how they've been impacted by different circumstances, they begin to pull back and not lead so much with the heart, and they lead more by, command, or lead by, things that they would just expect from other people at a distance. But a heart leader really is engaging in relationship with the people that they lead with. And it's, it's less that pyramid style. It's more of a flatter leadership model that still has structure to it, but it engages with people at every level of the organization and shares that heart, so that that we can sharpen each other. I can learn about the heart that another person's bringing to their task in housekeeping or in caregiving, and I can be sharpened by that. I can be encouraged by that, and I can be even as a leader, it emboldens my heart, because I know that the people that we have working on the front lines and providing care for our residents, again, are doing it for the right reasons. And only heart leaders are really going to be able to know that and be able to engage, because they've done the hard work of relating to people on a personal level, which is not always the most efficient thing to do. It's not always the easiest thing to do, but it is, the from my perspective, what is going to produce the best organizational health and team health.
I could not agree more. I want to take that whole snippet and it might go on our website, because ultimately it's correct. When it creates a sustainable organization that will stand the test of time. Mm-hmm. You might have short-term success, like high levels of success, that will eventually drop off.
Right.
If you don't invest in your staff to make certain that they feel cared for, that when they leave, they still have a sustainable home life, because that will start to draw from their work performance. So to see an organization like yours that creates that balance that is both within and outside of the structure that you've created, it's reproducible too. And you've shown that. It isn't like it's just a one place. You can pick up this model and you can create it somewhere else, and you can create it somewhere else. And you can show compassion can be taught. Mm-hmm. And through the programs that you're talking about, that you're sharing, recreating that, it's amazing.
Yeah. And a lot of times I think even too, like you were saying, it can be taught. And I think a lot of times it really is just giving your team permission to connect on that level as well. And, I can really point to James's leadership in that regard as well, because, I know just from conversations with him of, that he wants to know what drives and motivates our team members. And we've exchanged emails based on, conversations that we have both had with other team members regarding what their goals are for their life, where they want to live, and it may not be even in a location where we're currently offering services, but how can we help them? You know, what are we doing to help better their lives in any way we can? You know, and that kind of compassionate care and leadership, you really need. You know, I can speak again as an executive director. I need permission, you know, from our vice president to be able to engage in those type of conversations. It's very difficult in an organization when that tone isn't set to create that. You know, you can to a certain extent because of what you bring to the table personally, and you seek those opportunities and you do the best you can, but it really flourishes in an environment where there's an expectation that that's being done. That's really when it goes to the next level.
Absolutely. So as you expand, do you have target areas where you're like, this might be our next area? Can you tell us about?
So we've got a couple ideas. We've got a couple projects in the workings. But I think going back to the initial conversation Lance and I had, we want to be the best in Arizona. And I think that's where we can have the most impact. And it's one of those things like the In-N-Out model that I really, really loved how they started In-N-Out, the burger chain. Mm-hmm. Or so I've heard. I don't know if this is really true, but I believe it. The family or the group that started it wanted to only be able to go in a driving distance to the next store, then the flying distance to the next store. So I want to be able to touch all the stores or all the communities in one day. And I think that's super important to be able to touch residents and the family members really, really quickly. I think in Phoenix, we have that ability, and I hope to grow there. And coming out of COVID, I think we have a really good opportunity and really excited to not only maybe build a couple of more, but kind of grow the management side and be able, like you said, this is replicable. We can go in and offer these services and provide a great environment and experience for people to come in and work, to be a great caregiver, to be an amazing maintenance tech and grow from there. And we've got a lot of ambitions outside of just building and growing that we've been talking about mm-hmm. that are kind of exciting. Yeah. A little premature to talk about now, but there's some good opportunities.
That's wonderful. And so if there are caregivers who are watching this, and are like, okay, now I want to yeah. know more about opportunities sure. that are available at yeah. this amazing community. They would go to your website.
They can contact Lance at his cell phone number, which is
just kidding.
Yeah,
just kidding.
Yeah.
yeah. No, but yeah.
Ropesandseniorliving.com. If they're in the Goodyear area, West Valley, or if they're down in Sun Lakes, in the Southeast Valley. Chandler area. Those are where our two communities are located, and Robeson Senior Living will get you directed to either one. And we have the tool set up there for them to express interest and get to the right folks, and we'll be in touch.
All right. And if there are individuals who are looking for a place to live, who are in those amazing fun years where they can just enjoy their life, are there places available? Do you still have spaces in your community?
We do have both communities here in Goodyear, Arizona, and in Sun Lakes, Chandler, Arizona. We have our sister community out there. We have space for independent living, memory care, and assisted living. And we'd love to have anybody who would like to come by. More than happy to host lunches, tours, come by, and we'd love to have you.
All right. And there's information on the website about each of those programs. Yes. So they can review that. All right. And we'll make sure that all of those links are available underneath this video, anywhere that this video goes out. So folks can it's just as easy click.
Right.
All right. And our last couple of moments, is there anything else that we didn't cover that you feel folks should know about you, your communities, your staff, your community members?
I think one of the distinctives that we kind of touched on just with community that's really unique about our properties is they're both nestled in 55 and over neighborhoods as well. And one of the dynamics that we've seen is that a lot of residents have lived in those neighborhoods for many years. And then when it's time that, you know, they don't want to care for their house any longer and they want to move into independent living in one of our communities, they can do that. And when their care needs increase, they can, you know, move on to other levels of care within our community. But what that creates is a level of authentic community that isn't available at the typical senior living community that pops up on the corner. Often it's just another business that's on the street as you're driving by, and there's no real connection to the neighborhood around it. There's no real, it's detached. And so in a lot of ways, the folks that end up moving into those communities end up becoming detached from the community that they live in. And I think a lot of times can feel kind of hidden away from everyday life. One of the unique dynamics that we have here is because of that 55 and over community, because of the senior living community being built right next to those communities, all owned by the Robeson family, is there's a continuity there and a level of community that's not experienced elsewhere. And so what we've seen even is parents who've moved out of their home into one of our independent living communities, only to be followed up by their children then moving into the 55 and over home that they previously occupied. And now they have their kids just less than a mile or two away from where their parents live. And they're all in the same community. And so we share amenities. Anybody that moves into our community, the independent, the assisted living, is able to get an associate membership in the community surrounding golf course, pickleball, tennis, pool, that is surrounding our property. And what that does is it allows the residents of our properties to remain involved and to remain connected to the surrounding community. It doesn't detach them and put them away. It keeps them integrally involved with the community that they've lived in for many years. And again, like we've talked about, that just increases the level of dignity that they experience through those years that they're with us.
And gives them a sense of connection to something.
Absolutely. Yeah,
absolutely.
Not like they're just dropped into somewhere and suddenly their desire to even continue just goes away.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that, thank you for sharing that.
No problem.
Very wonderful to hear. And thank you both for gifting us your time. And we look forward to continuing to learn more about your communities just on an individual basis too.
So thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
And thank you all for joining us for another episode of the Heart Leader Podcast, where heart and mind align. I'm your host, Amber. And we're going to make sure you get all of the amazing details about this fantastic community and everything that they have to offer. And it will all be below this video. Don't forget, you can go to the Heart Leader Toolbox and download the Compassion Calisthenics and work out your compassion skills. Until next time, we look forward to seeing you in the Suivera community. You've been listening to the Heart Leader Podcast with your host, Amber, where heart and mind align. Tune in weekly on TransformationTalkRadio.com as we take a deeper dive into what it means to be a heart leader. Ready to take the next step? Join us and over 1 million people worldwide who've united in creating this global movement of love. Become a heart leader for today and tomorrow. Learn more and connect with us at suivera.org.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.